The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie rolling solo today. Joe off for the New Year's holiday. Austin is here behind the glass. Final hour before the PM team has you covered. And continuing a football Friday, we take a look at the other side of this matchup on Sunday night, game 272 of 272 on the NFL regular season slate, Steelers and Ravens for the AFC North title. The winner wins the division, gets to host a playoff game next weekend. The loser goes home with nothing. And the best person to give us a viewpoint from the other side is our guy Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. And Rob, I want to credit you. I mentioned this in my text to you yesterday. You called this way back in early December. You said, no matter how these next few games go or how we think they're going to go, these two teams are going to play with the division title on the line in Week 18, and we can talk again then. And here we are, Rob.
Here we are. I mean, isn't this how it's supposed to go, though? I also said on our show 2 weeks ago, if it comes down to that, it'll be the last game of the year because that's what the NFL wants. I'm not sitting here with a conspiracy theory saying the games were set up to be this, but I do mean that the NFL would love nothing more but for this to be the final regular season game of the year. Say what you want. I know about historic rivalries and of all that nature, the Bears and Packers, and more years, more history, but this is by far the best rivalry in the National Football League. And this is more proof. Look at all the other games that mean something in Week 18. But yet this is the game that the NFL chose to be the final game of the season. This is gold to them. This is TV gold to them, honestly. And I would have it no other way either with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, for years, it's been pretty easy to just toss at least one of these Steelers-Ravens matchups into primetime. So, hey, why not make it for the division title in Week 18. Can you believe, Rob, that this is the first time that in the final week of the regular season, it's a Steelers-Ravens matchup and it's for the division title with all the big games that we've seen over the last three decades?
Divisional rounds. I think we've even facing the wild card round. I know we're facing the AFC championship yep. game, and yet this is the first time we've done this. I heard someone say that, and I had to fact check. I'm like, no, that can't be right. And it is right. And just another feather in the cap of this rivalry. I'm pumped. I don't think I've been this pumped for a regular season game in quite some time.
What is the feeling?
Real quick, just to give you some reference, I'm in Atlanta for a basketball tournament with my basketball team, so I'm waiting on an Uber. I'm just letting you know that now.
Oh, okay. Well, safe travels with everything down there, Rob. What is the vibe that you have gotten from some Ravens fans this week going into the matchup? Because there are plenty of people in Pittsburgh that are you know, feeling apathy towards this whole thing. Like, who cares if they win, they'll lose in the playoffs. What's the feeling from Ravens country?
Excitement, but a lot of negativity. Negativity over what's the future of John Harbaugh. Negativity over Lamar Jackson being out with an injury and now back. Negativity over if he's healthy enough to help him or hurt him. There's a lot of questions with this game leading up to this game, which I'm not surprised because I know how Ravens fans are. The sky is always falling with us. The Ravens will go on, let's say this year, I'm not predicting it, but if they win the Super Bowl this year, you know, moments after they win, the question will be, well, what are they going to do next year? You know, you can't be, this team started off 1-5. And I don't think the fan base has gotten out of that 1-5 rut. And it's so many, this organization is almost at a crossroads. Mike Preston with an article that he wrote about Lamar. There's just a dark cloud over this team right now. I want to say team, not the organization. There's a dark cloud over this team right now. And I think a win Sunday and then, you know, with that home playoff game, I think M&T Bank Stadium will be electric, but there's still that dark cloud with so much uncertainty over what's next.
Okay, so I would say the feelings between the fan bases are pretty similar because we've certainly had some people fired up, excited for an AFC North championship game in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, but plenty of people who have either texted in, or they take place in the YouTube chat, or they call us and say, yeah, I'm not really excited because they could win this game, and then, you know, that's not going to lead to any change. Next week they'll get blown out anyway, so I guess the feelings are pretty similar, Rob, among the two fan bases. Where is the crossroads with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens right now? How much do you buy into some of the reports out there?
I don't. To be honest with you, I don't. I mean, Lamar Jackson falls asleep in meetings, or Lamar Jackson fell asleep in a meeting. Those are two different things, two different narratives. I don't. I'm with Marcus Spears. Where was this when the guy was winning two MVPs? You know what I mean? Where is this now? Where does this come from? I'm not doubting anybody's sources. I'm not that guy. I know Mike Preston. He contributes to the Big Bad Morning Show for Monday Morning Quarterback. I believe that he really has some sources. However, I question the motive of the sources. I question the timing of everything. For me, I want to see more. This to me is a nothing, is a big nothing for me. Let's win this game and go on from there.
Well, wasn't there a lot of chatter like that around the around the time he got his extension? You know, like, oh man, Lamar wants to be traded. He feels like he's done in Baltimore, and then you pay the guy, and you know, everything's hunky dory.
No, I mean, just Lamar is the most, in my opinion, the most polarizing Baltimore Raven that I can remember in franchise history. And as I said before, Lamar Jackson is different. So I think a lot of people can't take it. They can't take the Southern draw. They can't take the hair. They can't take that his mom negotiated his contract. They can't. There's just so many different things about Lamar, and people tend to be threatened by what's different. They can't accept what's different. They're threatened by, if you don't do it the way they've done it, then you're wrong. Well, he's hit a home run. His mom did negotiate his contract. She got him a no trade, no franchise tag. What agent is going to get him better than that? You don't have to like it. You don't have to accept it. But to me, it just seems like because this guy does not, you know, walk by the beat of the same drum that everybody else has, he's instantly done it wrong. And I think that's a big problem with Lamar. He's not your classic, prototypical NFL quarterback in so many ways. When he first came, he's a running quarterback. He can't throw. Well, at one point, he hit the highest passer rating in NFL history, so he disproved that. And now, because he can't run, he's no longer effective. Well, if his legs are healthy enough to throw, Lamar can beat you with the arm. It just seems to be so much doubt with this young man. And the question is work ethic. How can you have a bad work ethic when you've gotten better every year? He's hurt. That happens. Injuries happen. But to me, the story does not match up to what I've seen. You know what I mean? The story has to pass the eye test. Just like he had to pass the eye test, the story does. All of those reports don't match up. And that don't mean crap to me, because name me a team where you had a franchise quarterback who didn't have a different set of rules. You tell me Ben Roethlisberger didn't have a different set of rules? You mean Aaron Rodgers, when he was winning MVP for Green Bay, he didn't have a different set of rules? I bet you they did. Troy Aikman didn't have a different set of rules. These guys, they have different sets of rules. And people who get upset about different sets of rules are people who never were good enough to have a different set of rules themselves. That's what this is to me. Again, I believe that Mike Preston really had references. He still really had some guys that gave him some information. What I question is the motive or the motives of the people who gave him the information.
Keeping Lamar Jackson as the subject of conversation here, the reports from Baltimore that he did practice today, the first time in 2 months, Rob, that he participated in a full week of practice, so he is all set to go for the AFC North title game Sunday night in Pittsburgh. What percentage would you say, if you had to put a number on it, how healthy is Lamar? What are we going to see on Sunday night from him?
He's probably the healthiest he's been in over a month, because he also practiced on Wednesday. We haven't seen that in a long time either. I don't think he's practiced on a Wednesday in over a month, to be quite honest with you. So he's probably the healthiest that he's been. Maybe that week off did him some good. If I give it a percentage, maybe 80-85%, but it's week 18. How many people are more than 80-85% right now?
Yeah.
You know, if you've been playing every week, to say, well, is he 100? If he's done 100%, he can't play. Well, that means nobody on the field should play, because nobody on that field is 100% right now. You don't play 17 games. You don't play 14 games in the National Football League and finish up in week 18 100%. I would give it 80-85% to play along with it, but my real answer would be, he's healthy enough to win this game on Sunday.
That was a higher number than what I was hoping you would say. I was hoping that number was more like 60 to 65%. So now,
you know why? Because you know he's a factor. And if he is 80 to 85%, you know that's a dangerous Lamar Jackson. It's funny that his opponents and the fans of his opponents are more afraid of him than the confidence level of his own fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's just like the self-loathing nature that some fans have with their teams or what it is. I mean, I was thinking earlier this week, like, okay, if Lamar's like 50 to 60%, you know, if they get a really dinged up version of this guy, then, you know, maybe he'd be prone to ad-libbing too much or making mistakes. But you're telling me 80 to 85%, that's as good as you're going to get in January of a football season. So, yeah, that changes the calculus a bit for me, Rob. I mean, that tells me they're getting a good player.
I only say that because he practiced on Wednesday, and that's been a long time since you even said it. He said a full week of practice. A guy that's hampered by injuries, that's a game-time decision, he's not going to a full week of practice. It tells me not only is he healthy, but this game means a lot to him as well.
How do the Ravens look otherwise on the injury report?
I think the majority of the guys that you would honestly say you need to go into this game are healthy. My question is the guys that weren't banged up in the first place. Can Marlon Humphrey do his job? Can Wiggins, you know, not get burned over the top? The good thing is there's no DK Metcalf to beat him on those go routes like he was doing a couple weeks ago. But I don't think health is an issue for the Baltimore Ravens going into this game.
I mean, that's got to be a great feeling for any football team going into Week 18, let alone a game that's for the division title.
It does, but I believe the Ravens have had one of the best rosters in the National Football League for the better part of 3 or 4 years. And that does not always produce wins in situations where I feel like they should win. They're 8-8. You tell me what about this team other than injuries that says they're an 8-8 football team. When they're healthy, I think they're one of the better rosters in the National Football League. Now, as much health, much confidence I have in the players, I don't have that same kind of confidence in the coaching staff. Will you see a situation where Derrick Henry is not in the game late in the fourth quarter and you tell me there was only 6 plays? Or will you see a situation where Derrick Henry is told to rock 30-plus times to prove to you that, you know, Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer who's still, I wouldn't say at the top of his game, but he's not coming down. He's still better than most running backs in the National Football League at his age. And, by the way, Sunday's his birthday. So if the game plan is the game plan, I feel confident. I just don't feel confident in the – I said it before. I think the Ravens coaching staff agenda, not a game plan. It's almost like they want to prove things more so than they want to go and take what the defense gives them.
Do you still feel pretty strongly about that? We talked a month ago, and that was a point that you made about Todd Monken and the Ravens offense and, you know, taking Derrick Henry out of the game in very questionable spots. And here we are, final week of the regular season. You are coming out of a game where Tyler Huntley had to play, but, man, Derrick Henry had as good of a performance as he's ever had.
Let me be crystal clear, because you brought up the wrong name. You brought up Todd Monken. I saw Todd Monken as an offensive coordinator. I saw him in Georgia. This is not Todd Monken. We've had the same problems with multiple offensive coordinators. We've had this conversation for years. This starts from the top. This is John Harbaugh. He's a wonderful coach. He's a winning coach. But I've never drank the Kool-Aid of John Harbaugh. I think John Harbaugh is a product of a front office that is masterful, that is absolutely masterful. And when you are a chef, even if you're not the best chef, if you get the best ingredients, you're going to make a good meal. And there are better chefs who can make better meals, but it's hard to screw up a good meal when you have the best ingredients. Well, that's what John Harbaugh has been. He's been a coach operating, in my opinion, with the best ingredients, so it's hard to mess that up. I don't think their coaches in the National Football League committee, I say you win because that coach is going to out-coach you. I've never felt that way about Harbaugh. I wanted to take you back to the Super Bowl where Ravens fans were upset because the lights went out. And it's the conspiracy theory of the Ravens being up because the lights went out. Let me give you another way of looking at that. When those lights went out, the reason the 49ers came back is because the better coach had time to adjust. The better coach did. And a better coach put his team in a situation where they almost won that game. So that's how I look at it. I just don't. I'm not a believer that he is the coach that you say you win because of him.
Do you think he is coaching for his job on Sunday night?
No, I think that's ridiculous. I think if there's a decision that's going to be made on John Harbaugh, that decision has already been made. You're 8-8. You mean to tell me because you went 8-9, now you can get rid of him? No. If you're going to get rid of him, that's already going to happen. Whether you go 8-9 or 9-8. You know, I mean, you go 9-8, you win the divisional game at home, and then you lose on the road. Does that change things? Really? I don't think so. I think whatever's going to be whatever is decided with John Harbaugh, in my opinion, I think it's already been decided. We're either just finishing out the season and they part ways. And by the way, and I don't think you're going to fire John Harbaugh. I think there'll be a mutual agreement to part ways. Either mutually part ways or he's back next year. I don't think game 17, week 18 is the decisive factor for that. I just don't believe that.
I assume
that man has been almost two decades on your staff.
I assume that the fan base has had him on a hot seat for quite some time, but especially this season, because going into 2025, and maybe it was a bit of overrating the team, but at the same time, the Ravens, I believe, in the betting markets had as good as odds as anybody to win the Super Bowl, and here they are having to play a game for just a shot at making the playoffs with an 8-8 record going into week 18. So I can't imagine that the fans are very thrilled with how he's done as the head coach.
Let's go with the timeline. 2 years ago, you lose at home in the AFC Championship game. Last year, you lose it on the road in the divisional round. This year, you're fighting to get in. The arrow's not pointing up. That's for sure. The arrow is not pointing up. You're not getting better from where you were 2 years ago. So, you know, I don't know what more has to be done for us to realize that sometimes change is good for the sake of change. I'm sorry. I'm a believer in that. Sometimes you just need to shake some things up and move in another direction.
There's a lot of that conversation in Pittsburgh, obviously, how the last handful of seasons have gone, since it's been a lot of the same thing, losing in the playoffs. Now, when it comes to these matchups head-to-head, especially in the last 5 years, let's just say in the 2020s, Rob, it feels like, you know, more kind of jumping on John Harbaugh here, it feels like he almost outsmarts himself in these games against Mike Tomlin.
I would agree with you on that. I would totally agree with you on that. Mike Tomlin has had his number also in the past, three or four years. It always seems like Mike Tomlin is one step ahead of him in crucial moments. But you can say the same thing about Andy Reid, one step ahead of him in crucial moments. So that's the big issue with me. It seems like the better coaches normally are.
This stat I saw today from ESPN, so I will credit them over there. I didn't realize it was this good in favor of Mike Tomlin. Since 2020, Rob, against the Ravens as an underdog, Mike Tomlin's teams are 7-1 against the spread. They are 7-1 outright against the Ravens in these matchups since 2020. That's nuts to me.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is nuts, and to me, it's telling. Again, if you look at them against the better coaches, this is not that egregious, but you know the scale tips on the better coaches in the National Football League.
Is there somebody on the Steelers offense or defense that you've kind of gotten the feel that either colleagues of yours, you yourself, or some of your fans and listeners are worried about on Sunday night?
So you're telling me the last eight times you guys have been underdogs, right?
Since 2020, the eight games as underdogs.
Eight games.
Yeah.
So the answer to that question is no. No. Does that give me the confidence that I can say, without beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Ravens win this game? No, there's no – I'm sorry. I hope not to sound arrogant, but no, there's no one on your roster that scares me. None. DK Metcalf, if he's playing, it scares me because of the matchup. I don't know what Watt is going to be his situation for Sunday. I've not heard. Unless you have some information on that, he would scare me. But I don't know what his health status is. A punctured lung is nothing to laugh about. You can go from a puncture to a collapsed one. So I don't know his health status. Other than that, there's no one who scares me. I'm not saying the Steelers are pushovers, but If I were the coaching staff of the Baltimore Ravens, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I would say, go rattle Aaron Rodgers. Ravens pass rush is not the greatest, but that would be my game plan. Rattle Aaron Rodgers. Your defense, I would be run the ball. I would run the football effectively because I think that's how the Ravens could win. There's not one person on the Steelers staff that scares me.
Rob, I won't make you give an actual score prediction unless you want to, but just your feel for how this will go Sunday night in prime time and maybe who the X factor is, who gets the game ball.
The X factor is going to be Lamar Jackson. Let's be honest. I mean, with Derrick Henry's success, he's a Hall of Famer. He's going to Canton. There's no doubt about it. He's going to Canton. But Lamar Jackson is the factor. If Lamar Jackson can play Lamar Jackson-style football, even if he only throws 20 times like Tyler Huntley did. Keep in mind, Tyler Huntley threw the ball 20 times and just had over 100 yards. Meanwhile, the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers threw the ball 21 times and had like 250. You know, Tyler Huntley, I don't think, attempted a pass more than 12 yards. But I think maybe one. Lamar Jackson, on those same 20 pass attempts, is going to have 250-plus yards. I don't want him to throw the ball all around the field, but he is the difference maker in this game. I think the Ravens win an ugly football game on Sunday. Ugly not in the sense of it won't be fun to watch. Ugly in the sense of I don't think it's going to be a lot of scoring in this game. I think both teams, this is going to be your classic Pittsburgh Steelers AFC North game. I think if you didn't know how poorly these two teams played throughout the course of the regular season, if you didn't know, you won't know on Sunday. Because I think these two teams are going to play like two teams that deserve to be in the postseason. And I think the Ravens win a very close game.
Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Rob, as always, thank you so much for taking the time. Great stuff, man.
Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you, Rob. There he goes. Rob Long from Baltimore. Always a great view from the other side of things. A very real talk. Every time that we have Rob on, he doesn't really sugarcoat anything when it comes to his teams, when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. So that is always something that I enjoy. You guys had him on earlier this week, right?
We did on Monday.
Yeah. He's also somebody that I didn't love having to repeat him as a guest, but I did talk to him way back when before that first matchup of the season. He said, hey, make sure you call me back and we talk again before that game in week 18, because I promise you it's going to be for the AFC North. So I said, all right,
here we are.
I shot him a text yesterday. I said, Rob, you called this one about a month ago. Here we are a few games later. The AFC North is on the line. Let's chat about it. And he hops on with us. So another thank you to Rob Long for that. He has the feel that the Ravens win, kind of an old school looking Steelers Ravens matchup on Sunday night. What about you? I want to keep getting the vibe check from you out there. 30 minutes to go before the PM team takes over at 2:00. 412-928-9370 gets you involved. That helps you join the conversation. Let's go to Tim in the North Hills. What's up, Tim?
Yes, I am very pumped for Sunday night. I think I should, all Steelers fans should be, but I do get down the dumps a bit every time I hear somebody say I want them to lose so we can rebuild and get rid of the coaching staff or whatever. I just find that highly insulting on every level. But anyways, I am tremendously pumped. I like the Steelers' chances with Aaron Rodgers. I know his receiving core is depleted, but his experience base, I just feel that we have as good a chance. And I think the fans have got to be a major factor in it.
Yeah, I think, Tim, and thanks for the call, it's going to be a good atmosphere. I mean, it has to be a playoff-like atmosphere. I don't see any other, any other reason why it shouldn't be. The only way that things go south in terms of the fan performance at the game is if it gets ugly early. If the Ravens go up on them by 2 scores in the first 10 minutes of the game, or they're up 3 scores midway through the second quarter, then yeah, it's going to get ugly. It's going to sound ugly in that stadium, maybe even to a point where the broadcast crew on NBC, Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, that they really can't avoid it. 412-928-9370. Jack is in Elwood City. What's up, Jack?
Hey, I think the Steelers definitely win this game, especially if it's an old-school AFC North style. That favors us. High scoring, I think we're in trouble, especially without DK. But for sure, we win it if it's low scoring.
What do you think as a score prediction?
I'm liking 17-13 Steelers, and I think the playoff field's wide open. I think if we get in, we can make it.
To the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I like the confidence there, Jack. I wish I had quite that much. I don't know. I'm not going to be able to put them that far. I'm not going to be able to put them in the Super Bowl anytime soon, unless there is some sort of drastic change or they find themselves another franchise QB. I mean, it'll just be cool to experience a home playoff game again. We as fans have not gotten to experience in full capacity a home playoff game for the first time since the 2017 season. Almost as long as the playoff drought has gone, that's how long it's been for us to experience a home playoff game. Yeah, they won the division in 2020. They got a home game. That was the COVID year, if you recall. I think they allowed, what, like 2,000 fans in the stadium that night, if that? So we haven't gotten the real fan playoff experience in this city since January of 2018. That was 8 years ago. 412-928-9370. Frank is next. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's up?
All right. So I was thinking about this game all week. I really think we're going to lose by 2 touchdowns. I just don't think we're going to be able to have enough offense to move the ball much. And I think the Ravens are going to steamroll us. And it's going to be a surprise with their backup running back. It's going to be an X factor, that Mitchell.
Oh, Keaton Mitchell, Frank says, will be a big X factor in that game. He did have a long run against the Steelers in that first matchup. Mitchell this season, 339 yards and a touchdown. He does average almost 6 yards a carry. He's only run it 57 times. He was coming off an injury going into the season. So that's a little bit outside the box there from Frank and Sheridan. We'll keep taking your calls up until 2 o'clock, 412-928-9370. Coming up, we will also make our picks for Week 18 of the NFL season. I don't know if we have Joe's picks for the games that we want to pick. Hopefully, we can get them before the games kick off. What's cooking? That's brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. First one of 2026, Donnie Football on a Football Friday. Austin Bechtold with me behind the glass, taking your calls, final thoughts and feelings heading into the Steelers-Ravens showdown for the AFC North crown Sunday night at Acrisure Stadium. We'll get to our picks as well. But Austin, first, we can take a little bit of a victory lap. The man that I have been calling for to be the Steelers MVP pretty much since the season's halfway point has officially been named the Steelers team MVP, Kenneth Gainwell. Who would have thought when the Steelers signed this guy to a one-year deal in the offseason, he would be the team's MVP on a team that is one win away from winning the AFC North?
Not me. I thought he'd be a contributor. I liked the signing, but I never would have thought that he'd have this big of an impact.
And I remember having a conversation around this time last year, I think going into that Eagles game, so even over a year ago, or maybe after that Eagles game, when Kenneth Gainwell had a big performance. And Jeff Hathorn, to his credit, he said, I'm pretty sure they're going to sign this guy. He said, I think they're going to sign this dude in the offseason. And he will be like their third round back And lo and behold, not only is he that, the dude just claimed the Steelers team MVP. I think they got it right. I mean, I don't know any other direction they could have gone in for this award.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, you could consider Jalen Ramsey, like Ray was talking about. You could consider Aaron Rodgers because of the impact he's had on the offense, but what was expected of him compared to what he's provided, Kenneth Gainwell is definitely the answer. Watts had a down year. Hayward has been good. Highsmith has been good, but has missed games. Herbig is still playing a little bit of a reserved role. Gainwell was the choice.
Yeah, so my take there is that they got it right. Kenneth Gainwell, the Steelers team MVP. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Let's talk to Al on the north side. What's up, Al?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, what a joke. Who cares who's going to win Sunday? You know, they couldn't beat Cleveland. Cleveland stunk all year. And you know what? That cover, too, you can throw that out the door. Back up, back up. They're letting the guys catch the ball in front of them and they're tackling them. That's so stupid. You know, I'm frustrated. You know, that's all. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Al. Jeez. You know, they've lost to Cleveland. It's been a little bit of a losing skid in Cleveland. Since that tie in 2018, I think they've lost five of the last six, or what, six of the last seven, something like that, to the Browns. They've lost four in a row since Big Ben's retirement. They haven't won a game in Cleveland since 2003 without a quarterback named Ben Roethlisberger. So maybe it was more of a Big Ben thing than a Steelers thing. 412-928-9370. Tyler is next. What's up, man?
Hey guys, how you doing today? I appreciate you taking the call.
Good. What's up?
Yeah, so I just want to talk about, I've been younger generation, long-term fan of the Steelers. I have season tickets every year with my dad. I'm just tired of the mediocrity with Tomlin. I love the Steelers. I root for them. But this weekend, I mean, I think I want them to lose. It's the only way that they're going to get rid of Tomlin, I think. And you know, it's the same stuff every year. That's just my opinion on it.
Man, I just don't think we're at the point where they're going to get rid of Tomlin. I mean, I know that Schefter put out something else that was cryptic earlier today. Let me see if I can find the quote here. Josh Rountree put it out that Schefter joined the McAfee show earlier today. And he said, quote, "I think the losing coach Sunday night, there are going to be some conversations. It's not like they are going to be fired, but what does that coach in that city of that losing team want to do?" So again, it's just putting it in the power of that coach, putting it in the hands of Mike Tomlin. And it goes back to what we have said for such a long time, that he's going to go when he wants to go. It's not going to be the Steelers making that call. I really don't think it will be. 412-928-9370. Matt in San Fran. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to chime in my take here on what I think is going to happen on Sunday. You know, backing up a bit, been a user since 1975, followed these guys ever since. And I, for some reason, I don't know how, but we're going to come out winning that game. It'll be a 4-point game. You know, I can see something like 20-16, and we win it on a defensive play when they're inside the red, when Baltimore's inside the red zone at the end to put a cap on it. But, you know, if you look at the betting money, 57% are putting it on the Ravens and the spread, but 51% of the total money is sharp. And that means the sharp money is leaning on Steelers' money line. So with Tomlin being 21-6-3 against the spread as a home dog, I don't know how we do it, but I think we're going to come out of there with a win.
And he's 7-1, Matt. Thanks for the call. 7-1 since 2020 when he has faced the Ravens as an underdog. It's pretty good. That is pretty good. Not just 7-1 against the spread, 7-1 outright against the Ravens since 2020 being an underdog in these matchups. I know that doesn't always mean, well, he's going to win on Sunday night. It doesn't always mean that. But he has come up as the better coach head-to-head against John Harbaugh more often than not. And that's really, in a matchup like this, that's all you can ask for. I mean, what do you want him to be, 8-0 in those matchups? 412-928-9370 gets you involved in the conversation. The Steelers naming Kenneth Gainwell their team MVP for the 2025 season. But Austin, we have a few minutes to go before we sign off. Let's get to some picks. The final week of the NFL regular season. Let's do it.
Well, Donnie, we made some college picks, and we'll reveal what those were next week as well when we go back over the scores with Joe. But we basically split. We basically just went either 3-1 altogether or 2-2, depending on how you want to look at it. So Joe has thrown out some NFL picks as well. He's added an addition to our picks. First one we'll go with is Panthers at the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is favored by 3, and as Nick Costa has told us, the winner does not automatically win the South.
And that's if Tampa Bay is the winner of
Correct.
This game. If Carolina wins,
they're in. Yeah.
They do win the South. And I am taking my playoff Panthers, Austin.
Woo!
You can go back to the Thursday that the NFL season started. You can pull up my tweet of NFL season predictions. What team? What were one of the teams I had in that NFC playoff field? The Carolina Panthers. Now, I didn't think it would be as a division champion, but I think it's crazy enough to suggest that Carolina would be a playoff team in 2025. And here they are. They can do it with a win tomorrow afternoon. And even in a loss, there is an opportunity for them to win their division. I am taking my playoff Panthers. They are going to win the football game outright as a 3-point dog.
Well, Donnie, I am also taking the Panthers. So that game that takes place for Atlanta is basically a moo point, as Joey Tribbiani likes to say on Friends. But Joe is going with the Buccaneers. We might be able to gain a game on Joe there.
You heard what Nick said earlier, too. They had not won a game. They've won one game since the World Series ended.
Baffling. That is baffling. Seattle is 1.5-point favorites against San Francisco, Donnie. This game is being taken place in San Francisco. And Joe is going with the 49ers. Who are you going with?
I think I'm going to go with the 49ers, too. I think I'm going to take the 49ers to get that one seed in the NFC. They're going to win the football game outright. Kyle Shanahan with a masterclass of a coaching performance because his team has been so injury-riddled all season. They've had Mac Jones play half the year. Give me the 49ers in this one.
Yeah, I'm actually going with the 49ers too. And you know how much of a Sam Darnold believer I am? I'm in. But hi, Pony. Happy birthday, Pony. Big birthday for Pony today in the building. How about that?
It is Pony's birthday.
I do think that will end up being San Francisco that wins it. So with the clean sweep around the board. Browns at the Bengals. Cincinnati favored by 7.5, Donnie. Joe is going Cincinnati. He's hammering Cincinnati. He said they're going to win by like 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I'll take them there too because it would only make sense that coming off Cleveland Super Bowl last week when they beat the Steelers that they would just quietly go out and finish 2025 on a down note. And Cincinnati, since the game doesn't matter, Joe Burrow will have 404 touchdowns, and maybe even their defense will play well. That's how you really know the game doesn't matter. Give me Cincy.
Now, will Myles Garrett break the sack record? Joe says no.
I say yes, because I don't think the Bengals care about it as much as the Steelers did.
Yeah, I also say yes, unfortunately. Although maybe they should hold Myles Garrett on every single play to prevent him from doing that. I think that'd be very fun. Chargers at the Broncos. No Herbert. Broncos are favored by 12.5.
Oh, man. I mean, they're just not a good team when they have a big spread. Like, I'm going to take the Chargers. It's crazy to do that, but we just saw Denver play former Steelers draft pick Chris Oladokun on Christmas night, and they couldn't run away from that game. They're 6-9-1 against the spread this year. I'm going to take LA with a 13-point spread.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Broncos, but I really don't feel good about it at all. So this might be a game you pick up on us here, Donnie, as Joe's going with the Broncos. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites at the Steelers. Here we go, Donnie. Who wins the AFC North championship game? Joe is going with Baltimore 31-27.
Wow. High scoring. I didn't think he'd go that high scoring in that game. I think the Steelers are going to win the football game. Mike Tomlin, 7-1. You've heard me say the stat for the last half of the show. 7-1 in 8 meetings since 2020 as an underdog against the Ravens. When we think that they are dead and out of it, for whatever reason, they sit up like Michael Myers. Steelers win the game.
I also have the Steelers winning the game. What was your score, Donnie?
26-24.
26-24. I have them winning 20-17 on a game-winning Chris Boswell field goal that makes the executives at NBC very happy. Low-scoring game, competitive throughout. The Steelers will just do enough to make enough plays in the fourth quarter because of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that Lamar is going to be as immobile as people are going to make him out to be. And basically what he's been the last couple of weeks, a full participant in practice all week, gives me a little bit more optimism for Lamar to be more mobile. But I don't think that they're going to be able to do enough, which is kind of surprising that the Steelers will sweep the Ravens. That's just how I feel. But then they'll go into the playoffs and lose the first-round playoff game to Buffalo.
All right, Limits. That was fun. Want to thank the folks who joined the conversation. A thank you to Rob Long, Nick Costos, Ray Fittipaldo. Your fine work behind the glass as well. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High today of 28 and partly cloudy. The PM team is next on 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football signing off.